All right, so physical problems. Now, I've only got one chapter in the whole section of physical problems because I think the principles about fibromyalgia, I don't know of any other physical problem where you would counsel any differently, so we'll just use fibromyalgia as an example. Fibromyalgia is a condition in which it has no apparent cause. They don't know. They've been studying it. Doctors have been studying it for many, many years. Nobody knows what causes it, but when a person has fibromyalgia, they experience pain throughout their body for months at a time, at least 3 months at a time. And most people who have fibromyalgia, 80 to 85%, are middle-aged women. And they just have tenderness all over the body. The name given to this problem, all it is a translation of the words for the symptoms into Latin. Fibro means connective tissue, and my is muscle, and algia is pain. So if a person just complains of having muscle pain in the connective tissue and the doctors can't discover the cause, they diagnose the person as having fibromyalgia. In other words, they're saying, you've got pain. That's what the doctor's telling you when he says you have fibromyalgia. You've got pain, and I don't know where it's coming from. Diagnosis is just like all the other psychological things that we've talked about. It can't be, there's no machine that they can't do an x-ray, an MRI, or anything like that to diagnose fibromyalgia. You know, if you have other diseases, they can run a blood test, and they can, even if you don't know you have the disease, they can tell you, you've got this disease, because they can, this isn't like that. This isn't an organic disease in that sense that they can diagnose. The only way they can diagnose is if you tell them. You tell them, I've got pain, and they say, oh, you've got pain, except they say it in Latin. Okay, that's all that's going on. There's no generally accepted theory regarding cause or treatment. They don't know what caused it. They don't know how to fix it. The most popular theory is probably that it's some kind of sensory amplification syndrome, a defect in the way that your brain processes pain signals. So your pain just like it's got this amp. Every time there's a pain signal, just blasts it out of proportion. There's no science behind that, but sounds as plausible as anything. There's no known cure, so the focus is on relieving the symptoms. And a huge number of treatments have been offered, no long-term results. Many researchers have suggested that adequate sleep and specific exercises may have some relief. Pain medication is sometimes used. But usually the symptoms progressively get worse. So how do you help somebody with fibromyalgia? First, counsel them. Well, actually, let me begin by saying show compassion. Begin with compassion. Sometimes people want to just dismiss fibromyalgia. It's all in your head. You know, since there's no organic cause that we know of, then they say, well, that's in your head. You know, you're not really sick. And people who have it will try and insist, oh, yeah, it's a real physical disease. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the cause, if it's in their head or not. It's real pain. The pain is real. All pain is in your head, right? That's how pain works. You get signals from nerves, they go to your head. It doesn't, if there's a signal that goes to your head that says pain, it doesn't matter if that's a messed up nerve or if there's actually damage being done to your body, it's the same. The pain is the same. So the pain is real. So show compassion and help the person the same way you would help anybody suffering any pain. Go to a doctor for whatever you can get from the doctor, but then teach them the biblical response to suffering. And that's chapter 3. So go back to chapter 3, and that's on how to deal with people who are suffering pain. And then counsel them for anxiety. Because one thing that is for sure, fibromyalgia is always related to the way a person deals with stress. I've never yet heard of a person who has fibromyalgia that isn't also stressed out. Usually the person is, there's lots and lots of anxiety. And the onset of the symptoms is usually connected with some kind of stress. And so teaching them how to handle stress the right way is crucial. They usually will also have depression and other emotional problems. According to 3 separate studies, disability resulting from fibromyalgia appears to be related to pay scale and job satisfaction. So the less a person likes her job, and the less money she makes, the more likely that condition is to keep her from being able to work. So it's connected with various kinds of stress. So to help people with fibromyalgia, teach them how to respond to suffering without having anxiety. Teach them all these principles we've learned about suffering. And in addition to the principles in chapter 3, I'll just add a couple other things. First, shift their focus from the symptoms to the God who sent the symptoms. 5 thoughts about God for every 1 thought about their circumstances. Remember that? When they look at just the symptoms, they're looking at an earthly reality that's not the main picture. The bigger picture is what is God doing. And what God is doing is good. Always good. And so more time needs to be spent on what God is doing than on looking at these symptoms. So point them to the God who sent the symptoms for a good purpose. Secondly, take emphasis off of relief. They don't have to have relief in order to have joy. It's fine to ask for relief. It's not okay to demand relief from God or demand anything from God. Ask Him for relief and then put their hope, teach them to put their hope in the God who sent these symptoms, and what little energy they might have, put that on applying biblical principles rather than on seeking relief. If they think they have to have relief in order to have joy, then they're going to, that's going to make matters worse because they don't have access to relief, and so they'll be even more stressed. So you can relieve that stress by saying, look, there's a way to be joyful, even in pain. Ask questions that guide them toward the truth. Is it correct to say that God is in control and that He only does good things? Yes or no? God could have prevented this. Why didn't He? So that you can get their thinking along the track that what's happening to them is intentional, it's purposeful, the work of a loving Heavenly Father who's doing something good. And then remind them that it's possible to minister while suffering. Jesus didn't stop ministry until the very... He's on the cross, hanging on the cross, and He's ministering to people. He's watching out for His mother and arranging for her to be taken care of by John. And He's asking for forgiveness for the people who are... You know, He's got compassion in His heart, and He's praying, interceding for the people who are killing Him. I mean he's involved in ministry right to the very end. You can minister even while you're suffering. In fact, sometimes your ministry is... more potent, most of the time, your ministry is more potent when it's done while you're suffering. I think it carries a special weight with God's affections, and He tends to grant greater grace through your ministry when it's done while you're in pain. And then help the counselee develop contentment even in the midst of suffering. Learn the secret of contentment. All right, let's pray. Father, we just pray for compassion. It's hard to relate to people who are suffering when we're not suffering. And it's hard to be compassionate. I ask that You would help us to be willing to do the hard, agonizing work of entering into people's suffering so that we can feel the pain of it and have real compassion, showing Your compassion to them.